Hello, everyone. I hope this is a beautiful day for all of you, regardless of what the weather is like. I hope the weather inside is lovely. I know that at the same time, many of you come to these blessings because the weather is always not so lovely inside, and you want it to be beautiful. You want the sun to come out. You want the cool breezes to blow, and you just want to feel better. There are all kinds of things that can bring us metaphorically under the weather, or even literally under the weather, considering some of the drastic conditions that are going on around the world. And we send our blessings to all of you who are needing more blue skies and happy trails. And that's what I really want to dedicate this call to, how we find those blue skies and happy trails, and what the miracle of this blessing is, that it helps us to move just a little, probably everybody in their life by now has been to a chiropractor at least once, or if not that, a massage therapist or a friend who can adjust your neck. And you know that after an adjustment that feels like the whole earth moved when it happened, if you ask them, you'll find out that it was the subtlest maneuver, the tiniest little maneuver, and everything went into alignment. And if we look objectively at, pardon me, the degree of change that is necessary to turn our life, pardon me, I drank my water a little too fast. If we take a look at the subtle changes that are necessary to turn our life from rain to sunshine, we'll remember the times when right in the middle of a rain, the sun came out. Or let's say the rain stopped and the sky was still cloudy, but a little hole broke through and this gorgeous ray of light came through. It didn't take a drastic change. And sometimes that one ray of light, or that rainbow that appears in the middle of a rainy day, is more beautiful than one of these broad blue sky days with no wind and just a perfect weather, but nothing eventful happening. So we want to talk about how these little adjustments happen. What is the miracle that brings about such a big change with only a subtle alteration of conditions, or perhaps an attitude, or perhaps the most subtle change of viewpoint or communication, the most subtle reconnection with your heart or with another, and virtually a miracle happens? How is it that our universe is so profoundly integrated that such things can happen? While we're waiting for, I want, this is such an important conversation, I want to have a full house before we start talking. So I will open up the call for about 5 minutes. I think all of you are going to want to hear what I have to say. And so I don't want to spend a lot of time on calls today, but I want to give everybody a chance to get here. So, Jackie, hi, I see that you have pressed 5-star. Oh, and by the way, those of you who don't know, who are new to the call, if you want to say something or ask a question, press the number 5 and then the star button. Hi, Jackie, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. Happy Sunday.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a quick question. I was doing a blessing for a friend over the phone, and while I was doing the blessing, my husband came home and he didn't realize I was in the room, and so he kind of came in, and I felt, you know, interrupted and distracted. When something like that happens, do I start the blessing over again, or do I just continue from where I was?
you just continue from where you are. Because actually, what's happening is that once you start the blessing, you're moving more and more into the heart of God. You're surrendering more and more to the will of God, and it really becomes less about you and less about the environment. And so if you started again, that would mean that somehow it was all about the environment. Perhaps your husband needed to enter the room. We don't know always how the will of God is working to bring the energies that come to bear on our blessing.
Yeah, I did continue the blessing. I didn't stop it, but I was wondering, like, oh, no, I wonder. And, of course, and it's kind of hard to not be in the during the last part. I was like, just surrender the self, surrender itself.
Absolutely. Well, Jackie, we blessing givers are having a call next Saturday, so that would be a good question to bring up with other blessing givers.
Okay, great.
And
thank
we
you
can
so
cover
much,
this
Linda.
More. Okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Is there anyone else who wants to ask a question? Remember, star 5. I'll scroll through, see if anybody's pressed star. I'm sorry. I keep saying star 5. It's 5-star, like as in a 5-star restaurant, 5-star hotel. Well, this is a 5-star experience. Hi, Dennis. I see you have pressed 5-star. You're on.
Hello, Glenda.
Hi.
Can you hear me? This is Dennis in Los Angeles. I just have one quick question. Are you okay with what I'm posting on your website?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I'm not giving any
marvelous.
Feedback.
It's kind of like reading a book, though, and right now I've got about 5 to 10 minutes a day to devote to all of my Facebook and website.
Right.
We're doing a lot of redesigning of... I'm getting a lot of e-books ready for publication and doing a lot of redesigning of our website. So staying up with the social networking is not something I've been able to dedicate much time to lately.
Right.
But to the degree that I've read them, it's marvelous, and I'm sure other people are loving them.
Okay,
so
thanks.
Keep up the good work, and I'll comment as soon as I can get to it.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, and thank you. Okay. Let me just scroll through and see if anybody has anything else, and otherwise I will get started. And I think it's really, really interesting that our first two questions have actually come from blessing givers, because I actually want to talk to you a little bit about what goes on in the blessing and why you might want to be here for the new blessing call. Not call, I'm sorry. Well, it is a call. It's a calling from Yeshua. Be here for the new blessing call, which will be on July 30th and 31st. We haven't really talked about this other than for me to include a mention of it in mailings that I've sent you. And we already had people signed up who were a spillover from the other course, because we really can only take 100. That's the total room and dining room capacity for the seminar. And so we have not widely promoted yet. I do want to get a letter out, because I changed my mind about something. And I want to share this with all of you on the blessing call. Because I think it's really, really important that...
conference muted.
I really, really wanted to share this with everyone, because I think it's important that you know what affected me. And before I say that, I also want to mention that I posted something on our Blessing Givers Facebook site, and it's an event of 1 million children singing a blessing for the earth. It will move you to tears when you see the eagle's eye view of these 1 million children lined up all in one place in perfect order and singing this song and raising their hands to bless the world and to bless humanity. It is breathtaking. Even if you don't want to join Christ Blessing website to make comments, go and visit it. click on that link that I posted and view this. It's amazing. I may actually send it out to everyone because I want you to see it. So with that background in mind, I was asked by a child to join the Blessing Givers course. And I thought, oh, my God, she has no experience in being spiritually responsible for other people in a trained way, but she may be transforming the earth just by being here with an innocent heart. Everything just kind of spun around and reconfigured for me. And I realized that while it probably was important that we first bring together those who have dedicated their life to spiritual responsibility for others, we need to widen the net and bring in everyone with an innocent heart. Everyone that, who can't explain why they want to be here, but they know they want to be a better person and they want to be the change they want to see in the world. Yeshua said to me telepathically as I was having that experience, he reminded me how he said to the apostles, "Do not keep the children from me." And he meant that with regard to the children, the child in all of us, the innocent person that wants to have a connection. And then when I went back and I read the testimonials from people who were in the course, I realized everyone was shocked by how powerful this course was. And it was not just the shock of what they could do for the world. It was the overwhelming experience of having an authentic, direct connection with Yeshua. This is what he came for. This is what he incarnated into the world for 2,000 years ago, to allow us to have a direct, authentic experience with him as a human being. And this is why this was probably the major thing that everyone got from the seminar, is they got what they've always wanted, and that was the direct, authentic experience with Yeshua. And from that, they became the person they want to be. In being the person they want to be, they are being the person that brings about the changes in the world. And it really doesn't matter if you do the exact protocol accurately, because it's your heart that is the blessing. It's your connection with God that is the blessing. It's your conveyance of the Holy Spirit into the world that is the blessing. It's your unification with the Christ within that is the blessing. And so that's why you see, my mind was getting in the way. It wasn't a bad guidance initially for me, because I knew that we could only have 100 people in the course. And I knew for certain we had at least 100 people among our ministers and other people who were trained in healing and other forms of teaching and guidance and counseling who would want to be here. And that was true. The room spilled over. We even had to make an exception and have 2 extra people bring in a couple of extra chairs, and they had to eat in the sports bar because we didn't have room for them in the dining room. But they were totally glad to be here under any condition, just to be in that experience. Well, we're now where we need to open it up. And so if writing an application, writing a letter justifying why you're ready to be here has been a hurdle for you, forget it. Let go of it. Just come. If you're called, come. I still would like you to write me somewhere, either before or by the time you get to the seminar, a statement about why you want to be here, not so much because it will be used to qualify your attendance, but because it'll help put you in focus, you to put words and thoughts and feelings together on what it is you hope to achieve in the seminar. I still would like you to do that as an exercise, but it's not a qualifying thing, not at all. I want your heart to be touched. And I was recalling the fact that before Yeshua came to me, I couldn't have imagined I would be doing the work I'm doing. I couldn't possibly and wouldn't have even thought or wanted to write an application to Yeshua for doing this work. I would have been totally arrogant to write that and totally out of place to apply for that. He came to me. He had a calling. And he even said to the apostles, it is not you who have called me. It is me who has called you. And so if you feel that calling, come. Just come. I remembered in the scripture how Paul, one of the great apostles and the great emissaries of Yeshua's message to the world, to all people, not only would never have written a letter of application, he was out killing the followers of Christ. He was persecuting them. His heart was turned against them. Yeshua appeared to him. He had an authentic experience with Yeshua. His total life was transformed. And then he felt the calling from within. So that really brings us to what this blessing is all about. Why, not only why the Course is so powerful, but why the power exists. Even though you and I may be 1,000 or even 5,000 miles apart or 20,000 miles apart. I don't know how far apart we are physically. But when we are in the blessing, there's no time or space between us. We're taken to a place where only God exists, where the Holy Spirit is all powerful, and love ignites within us a program that was here from the very beginning of your life. And that's what I want to start by talking about. And I want to give you the anatomy of that. The word anatomy really does fit. Because there's something even in our body I want to talk to you about. It's very, very important. Before I do, I want to also bring up the parable that Yeshua used so frequently in his teachings. If you count the number of topics, the number of repeated topics that he used in his teachings, this is the one he repeated the most, and it's the parable of the seed. Sometimes it was just a seed, sometimes it was a mustard seed, and sometimes he compared our heart to the kingdom of heaven, which was like a seed planted within us. So I want to talk about the seed just a little bit before I get to the real anatomy that we're moving toward. Of course, they didn't have electron microscopes in those days. I'm sure Yeshua knew all the intricate details and more that we can see in an electron microscope, but he also realized that his audience would not understand a thing he said if he talked about it on that level. So he just talked about the seed because he lived in an agrarian society, and they lived and died by the seed. He knew that his words were seeds. He talked about the apostles about how they would scatter seeds, and some would fall in fertile soil, some would not. Don't worry about it. Oh, he used the concept of the seed frequently. But now, what do we see in a seed if we looked at it? Let's take the tiniest seed. The one he actually named was the mustard seed. And the reason he named that is because it's a tiny, tiny seed, about like a little sesame seed. And when it's planted, it doesn't just grow an herb. It actually grows a small tree. The mustard tree, it's not a mighty oak, but it would be as big as an olive tree or a cedar. You know, it qualifies as a tree. Okay. And so probably the reason he named that is because there's the largest size differential between the starting point and the end point that he could use for comparison. See, we don't get the whole story that he talked about. We just get the little nuggets that were so pithy that they were passed on by oral tradition until finally they were written down. We don't get all the elaborations he made, but we can do some extrapolating and imagine that he drew a comparison between the size of the starting point and how big the tree was that came from it. And this is like the universe. Let's look at an atom and see how beautifully constructed the whole atomic, the integrity is within atomic structure. And then we look at the universe and we look at the integrity in the universe and we can't help but draw a conclusion of, oh my, there's a very close similarity between what's going on in that atom and what's going on in the solar system, and then the solar system to the galaxy. And then we look through the Hubble telescope and we see not only other solar systems that behave just like ours, but we see other galaxies that spin, that have the same spin as our galaxy. And then we go bigger and bigger and we see this whole conglomeration of galaxies in the Milky Way, and the Milky Way itself has a spin just like our galaxy. Oh, wow. What are we looking at here? Well, what we're really looking at is a huge matrix of integration. This is why it's called a universe. It's based on unity. And that unity is replicated over and over again. And even within the tiniest cell of your body is the whole of your body. Within the tiniest cell, that is if you go all the way to the atomic level. Now, if you scrape off some cellular structure from the kidney and then some cellular structure from the liver, well, you'll see that those are differentiated in their functionality. If you go all the way to the DNA level, though, you could identify the same exact person with the same exact biological heritage. It depends on how deeply you go to the minute configurations, but you can arrive at a point where there is identical replication. Now, let's go back to how you begin. You began before you actually attached to the uterus and formed the placenta. The egg and the sperm formed a little zygote. And the first thing that little zygote became was a one cell that was a heart cell. The heart cell was your very, very beginning. And that heart cell attached. Well, actually, it multiplied several times. It multiplied and multiplied and multiplied until, it was just a little tiny pin spot, but nevertheless, it was large enough to be perceived by the eye, even though it was a little, maybe you'd have to have glasses, but you wouldn't need an electron microscope to see it. Okay. It attached to the uterus, and the tiniest little placenta began to form, and it was still a heart. And the heart was the original brain, the original mind from which all the other cells of your body began to create differentiated function. Finally, as those other cells began to create differentiated functions, they needed a communication system. And that communication system was the beginning of the autonomic nervous system, which then needed a headquarters. And the headquarters, or the switchboard, you might say, the relay point for communications, was the rudimentary beginning of what eventually would evolve into your brain. And as you can see, your brain was it actually was about the last thing created. Certainly not the first thing. It was actually created as a byproduct of your organs needing a communication system, and that communication system needing a switchboard, and the switchboard needing some more and more complex ability to retain and integrate data. And in order to continue that communication function, the brain became bicameral, which means it developed two parts. So it can have its relay system, because essentially it's a communication device, and it compares data. It had to have an ability to draw data directly from the body, which is the right brain, and then collect data from the environment, which is your left brain, and compare the data, which is how the brain works. And so the brain was a derivative, a very complex, very magnificent work of art that occurred as a byproduct of something infinitely more magnificent, because it's a direct reflection of the universe. And this is why I ask you to go into the heart when you pray. This is why Yeshua asked people to go into the heart when they prayed. And he asked you just to surrender from your mind. Because your mind is, even though it's a magnificent work of art that we cannot live without, our body needs it. It doesn't have the answers that are connected with a larger universe. In other words, it's not a mirror of the universe. Your heart, the cells in your heart are a mirror of the universe. But now there's something else in your body I want you to know about very, very quickly. And if I have to take an extra couple of minutes, I will, because this is extremely important. This is information that is so important, I'm actually going to send all of you an email with details about it, because this has to do with why I want you to go and rest for 7 minutes after you receive the 3-minute transmission of energy. It's very important that you rest, because I want this energy to go into every cell of your body. Now, this is a letter written by a doctor, an MD, that integrated some information he was looking at, actually on an educational program that took him straight back to medical school, and then straight into the heart, and then straight into the research lab to confirm it. And it's all about the tiniest, most microscopic, basic cell adhesion molecule in your body. And it was the cell adhesion molecule that was created along with and at the same time as the second heart cell was created. Okay, the first heart cell would not have needed it. When it duplicated in order that one or the other of the cells would not be sloughed off, it created this connective molecule. And we're talking tiny. It's literally a cell adhesive molecule. And what it's called is laminin. That's spelled, I want to give you the spelling because you can Google this. And if you don't want to wait for my email, you can Google it, and you're going to be shocked with the picture that comes up of when you Google. You might Google it in the plural form, which is L-A-M-I-N-I-N-S. That's L-A-M-I-N-I-N-S. Laminins, plural, or laminin, which would refer to the singular cell adhesion molecule. Now, this cell adhesion molecule is the intercellular communication of our body. And when you see it on an electron microscope, and you will get pictures of this, I'm going to send you pictures of it, what you're going to see is a cross. This is the cross within your body. It literally is a cross. And the vertical shaft of the cross is the double helix, with energy passing through the double helix, and then the top of the helix forks off on horizontal arms. The base of this cross forks at the bottom to create the symbol of the Christian fish. And then below it, it will create one more tiny, it's a protoglycan binding molecule at the very tail of it. And at the very head of this is a chain that connects to the cell it supports. So literally what we have is a beam of energy, and it's a cross configuration. Now, this is not created. I want you to understand, this does not come from Christian mythology. You can find this on medical sites. You can find this in Encyclopedia Britannica. You find it on Wikipedia. You find it in scientific journals. This is what is in your body. But now, why is it cross-shaped? Well, it's cross-shaped because everything in nature, from our planet to the cosmos to your body, has an electromagnetic configuration that is attuned to the directions of the compass and the directions of the north, south, east, west configurations in the flow of life. Now, in the Blessing Giver Seminar, we go into all the details of how that works, to how every cell of your body is tied to the whole clockwork of the universe and the clockwork of the planet and the clockwork of nature. We go through all of that in our seminar. I don't, unfortunately, have time to do that here, but I am going to send you a copy of this letter from the doctor and these pictures, because I want you to see how this energy is flowing through your body and why you need to be sitting the way you're sitting. I want your feet bare on the ground. I want your spine vertical, because you need to be flowing vertically from the top to the bottom. And I want your shoulders and through your heart will flow this horizontal kind of axis. This is why your prayer needs to be in your heart. Just surrender. Allow God to move through you. Allow the universe to move through you. Allow the Holy Spirit to move through you. Allow Christ to be with you. He has mastered the science of the body. He knows exactly how the body is built from the inside out, one heart cell from one heart cell to the other. He understands the binding molecule of all cells of the body, which is how he could put himself back together. None of this, nothing about his life is an accident. And his ability to be with you right now is not an accident. You are here by a calling. Receive in the fullness of all that you can receive and express your gratitude. Next time, I had something very powerful to talk to you about, but we're going to save it for next time. And it has to do with the corollary nature of gratitude and forgiveness. Please join us for that, because that's the rest of the message. That's next week. But for now, we need to move right into the blessing. And blessing givers, hopefully you will have been refreshed in some of your coaching and understand even more powerfully what you're doing. So if you choose to join me, I would like to begin. And all of you, just allow your attention to go away from your mind. Bless your mind to be grateful for it, but it cannot connect you with the universe. We want you connected with the universe. We want you to be in the original perfect template from which you were created. Be in your heart. Pray in your heart. Begin your prayer. I will convey the energy for 3 minutes, and then I want you to go rest for 7. And don't think any thoughts while you're resting. Allow the energy to pulse through your body. Beloved Yeshua, thank you for being the one who is the new and perfect example, that we may emulate, that we may learn from, and that we can bring our joys and our suffering, our hopes, our dreams, and our needs for release. Allow us to know that most of what we experience in the world is a passing illusion, and the true reality lies within, from the way that we were created, as love in the image of God. And therein lie the secrets. The kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven does not come because we say it's here, or we say it's there, or we confuse it with any illusion about who we think we are, who we say we are, who we think someone else is, or who we say someone else is. It's about the kingdom of heaven within, the seed planted at the beginning of our life, for which we are most grateful, for which we seek now to live our life in the unfolding. We thank you for being with us and guiding us into the most perfect unfolding of all that we can be. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest for 7 minutes, and I'll see you next week. God bless all of you, and bye-bye.